You know, God, sometimes people don't understand God. You know, we're made in His image. So many things that are in us is in God. Emotions. God has emotions. It's in the Bible that way. And one of the things God has that we don't realize is a sense of humor. But it's not always as we would understand a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor that is looking at things that the wicked do as ludicrous. So ludicrous, you have to laugh. And this is one of the verses in Psalm 37 where it talks about God laughing. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. Their day is coming. I entitled this message, "A Day Is Coming." That's not the usual way we look at God as His response to the wicked. It's better seen in this verse in Psalm 7:11, in the King James, New King James Version. I'm going to read it. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. That's His usual emotion that we see in the Scriptures. But can God hold those kind of emotions and different emotions simultaneously? Yes, He can. He can do that. He holds those emotions. We do the same thing ourselves many times. We can be angry and we can laugh and we can cry and then we can laugh again. It's like we do it very quickly. We jump back and but God has a day. And this text really brings this to mind where God holds all these emotions in one thing, in one day. And it's described here in Malachi in this way about the Advent. It's talking about the Advent, this passage. Now, Advent season is very interesting because it's one season. It's just one season, Advent season. It lasts for 4 Sundays. And yet, what Advent is about, it begins with the end of the Christian year, and it ends with the beginning of the Christian year. That's what Advent season does. It's very interesting. So does this passage. It's one day. A day is coming. And it begins by talking about the second coming, and it ends up talking about the first. And it interspersed with a mixture of the two. But that's what Advent season is, and that's why we have observed this in turning our hearts in preparation for the Lord's coming to receive, O come, Emmanuel. That's a heart preparation. Well, this last chapter of the Old Testament begins with the second Advent and ends with the first, and it's God's last prophetic word for 400 years. And the next occasion will be when this prophecy is fulfilled, where it says, "I will send Elijah, John the Baptist." And he will announce that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what is that prophetic word? What is the prophetic word of Malachi, chapter 4, the last chapter of the Old Testament? It is that Christ's coming is bad news for some and good news for others. Bad news for some and good news for others. Malachi saw only one day. A day is coming. The day is coming, Malachi said. It's bad news for some, it's good news for others. This is what the prophets all saw. They always looked for the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord, the Advent day. God is coming. He is going to intervene in history. Somehow God is going to set things right. Everything is wrong right now, as Martin Luther was pointing out. Everything is boiling over. Everything is burning. Everything is crumbling. And God, bring that day. And that's what the prophets saw. They saw a day, a single day, where there would be a final cataclysmic intervention of God into history. And in that prophetic word about the day, there was always a mixture of two elements. There was a mixture of healing and deliverance and blessing, and there would be a judgment, a harsh, final judgment. Those two things were always mixed in with all of those prophecies, and we see it here in the one day that Malachi saw. We see judgment in verse 1, where it talks about the fiery burning up of the day of the Lord's return will be a burning furnace, and the wicked will be burned up, and their works will be burned up, and wow. Sounds a little hellish.
because that's what it's talking about. And then there's a deliverance in verse 2. Healing and setting free. He uses the issue or the illustration of the Sun of Righteousness, S-U-N, like a sun that's beaming down rays of righteousness with healing in its wings. And in some translations it says with healing in his wings, because they know what it's talking about. It's the light that was lighting the Gentiles. It's Jesus, the light of the world. So there's deliverance. And then in verse 3 it talks about judgment again. And here it's talking about the oppressed that have been trampled under again and again by the wicked. Now the oppressed are, if the tables are turned. And now they are the ones who are victorious. Deliverance. And then it turns back again to judgment. In verse 6, the first part, and it says that, or it actually turns about to deliverance, where it talks about the restoration of relationship. He would send forth Elijah, who would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and their children's hearts to their fathers. In other words, there would be a restoration of broken relationships, and this is what our society needs today. A restoration of broken families and broken relationships. And then it turns back again at the end to judgment. Geographic locations being cursed because the deliverance is not received. Judgment, deliverance, judgment, deliverance. All seen in one day. And the prophets of the Old Testament all saw it that way. And it's almost like this is a capstone of the whole Old Testament prophecies of this day coming is right here in Malachi chapter 4. A day is coming. But how it divides up into deliverance, or if it divides up into deliverance or judgment, there is bad news and there's good news. But how is that? Why is it that way? It's because what it says in verse 5, the focal point that turns either direction, either towards bad news or good news, is that the law, remember the law of Moses, remember God's word. Because it's your response to God's word, whether you reject it or accept it, that makes the coming of Christ good news or bad news. And it's not an arbitrary decision. Hell, heaven and hell, these are not arbitrary decisions. People make these decisions in how they decide upon what their response will be to God's word, to God speaking his authority instead of us following our own authority. Good news or bad news, the consequences follow the choices. So John the Baptist, it mentions him here as Elijah that spoke to come. Well, John the Baptist also only saw one day. He only, remember, John the Baptist, we preached about him a little while ago. He was an Old Testament prophet. In fact, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. No more prophecies, Old Testament prophecies after John. But remember, John was steeped in these traditions. He knew a day was coming, and he knew there was a Messiah coming, and he would be the one that would bring that day. And he saw it. He saw Jesus, and he said, this is it. The day has come. The day. One day. But John didn't even know who he was. They asked him, are you Elijah? That was in John 1:21. Who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. I am not. Now, he didn't know who he was as far as his identity, but he had his message straight. What was his message? Here's what it said in Luke 3:16 and 17. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, and he's going to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Do you guys see heaven and hell in that? I do. He was saying, it's either good news or it's bad news. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's fire. It's either you're being going to be gathered into the barn or you're going to be burned up as chaff. It's one way or another, depending on how you respond. And he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand. Well, Jesus knew who John was. Here's what he says in Matthew. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. That one day. They prophesied that one day. All of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Jesus knew who John was. And what was he saying? He was saying, he's come. He's the Elijah that was announcing the day. So the day is here. It's come. So, John was seeing one day, and Jesus was validating John's, yes, the day has come. But he only saw one day. One day. And we are talking about two Advents, aren't we? The second coming and the first coming. Well, John wasn't alone in his thinking. And if you'll remember, we talked a little bit ago about Acts 1:8. Well, in the verses that precede Acts 1:8, the disciples, even after being with Jesus for 3 years, still didn't understand that this day had two phases. They thought that now that Jesus is resurrected, wow, I mean, aren't we going to go and finish this job and finish this off? He's the king, he's resurrected, and he is almighty, powerful over death. So, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And Jesus answered, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to fulfill the prophecies? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. And every time we get talking about Bible prophecy, the dates that have these charts, and here's this, the Lord's going to come back in this way, and he's going to do this and that, we start talking about these. What is Jesus talking about? He says, evangelism. Get off that right now. That's the Father's business, those dates things. Evangelism. Spread the word. Preach the gospel. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus' emphasis. Because, you see, he understood that there were two phases to this thing. And they didn't. They only saw this one day. Jesus did not deny their question. He knew they were right. There was a day coming. It had arrived. Had it? Had this great and dreadful day of the Lord arrived, this second advent that speaks about, spoken about by Malachi? Had it arrived? Yes, it has. Ooh. How so? How so? Well, no one knows the hour, Jesus said. No one knows his timing. Even the Son, he said himself, even the Son doesn't understand, only the Father. So what was Jesus about? What was Jesus about? First of all, he understood that there was just this one day, the Advent day, the day of the Lord, had come. He had arrived. But it had two phases. And he very interestingly divided those two. He divided the two themes. He divided the two themes that were in the Old Testament. Jesus, first of all, talked about deliverance. He had got up one day, and in the synagogue, he read this passage from Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying this to them, This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence, in your hearing. This day had arrived. A day of what? Judgment? No. Deliverance. Jesus said again in Luke a little later, he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So Jesus divided these two themes and he said, this is deliverance time. This now is deliverance time. But he also mentioned the next time, the judgment time. And that was going to be the nature of his second coming, Matthew chapter 13. Here's what he says. The Son of Man, that's Jesus. He's not just talking about God doing this. Jesus himself, the coming King, the one who will arrive with this great day of the Lord. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this is it, Jesus? This is the message of Jesus?
This is the day. The day has arrived. This is starting now.
So wait a minute. Jesus divided these two things, deliverance, blessing, and healing, and then judgment, retribution, hell. And you say, well, this is all what Malachi was talking about. He saw it in one day. Jesus divided the two. This is very, very interesting. And if you start reading Scripture, you'll see something very interesting. Jesus didn't come judging, bringing judgment the first time, did he? A king riding on a little donkey, humbly going into, receiving the glory and praise. He didn't say anything against it, but he came in humbly to Jerusalem. He knew he was going there to die. Next time he comes, will be on a white horse, with a sword in his hand, covered with blood, and his garments covered with blood, not his own, shed on the cross, the blood of his enemies in judgment. This time is a time of amnesty. You can switch sides in the war. You can be God's enemy, or you can be his friend. And if you become his friend during this time of amnesty, then it's as if you've always been on the winning side, on his side. He'll treat you like he does everybody else in his army. But you don't want to be on the other side. There's no switching sides when the second coming comes. We need to be on the winning side now. We need to accept this king. And that's what it's talking about. This judgment was to be the nature of his second advent. This deliverance was the nature of his first advent. And that's why, as we end the Christian year, we talk about, well, it's time to wrap things up. The choice has been out there all year long, all season long. The choice has been out there to make Christ king. We just finished kingdom time, the spread of the kingdom, the offering of the gospel to the world. But once it's been preached in all the world, then shall the end come. And when the end comes, it's the second coming. There's no switching sides. It's over. The curtain drops. The curtain falls. And on which side of the curtain will you be? This is very interesting. There was a time I preached a series of messages called Back to the Future. And I used that movie. I don't think some of you have seen it. There's three Back to the Future movies. And I used illustrations for those three things about Christ coming. Because guess what? When he arrived, he brought the future into our presence. So when we go back and study about Jesus, we're going back to the future. That's the theme. But it's very interesting. The future king who will sit on David's throne, reigning with a rod of iron over the nations. He had arrived. He was standing on the planet. The king of the future had arrived. The judgment that would take place on sin in the future started at the cross of Christ. The judgment was poured out on God himself so that there could be this deliverance time. So resurrection that would be for all people someday started in the resurrection of Christ. The future had started in Christ. And the universal peace that would reign when the wicked were separated from the righteous, so that the righteous could finally have peace, could finally enjoy heaven without having hell in it. No mixture of hell. This world is a mixture of heaven and hell. And God says, no, he wants a universal reign of peace, and that's what the Old Testament talked about. Well, what happens when you receive the Prince of Peace into your heart, that kingdom of peace begins to be set up inside of you? Jesus brought the presence of the future into our day. It was the one day and it was coming from the future into our day. So the day has arrived. It's arrived. And even the demons recognized it. Do you remember that passage where the demons spoke to Jesus? And it's in Matthew 8, and they said, here's what they said to him. It's a very strange word. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted, have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? No. So get out of them anyway. Get out of those people. I've come to bring deliverance. But do we still have demons today? Do we, is people still doing evil, manipulated by satanic things? Yes, we do. Well, it's not complete, but it started. And people can still be set free today because why? The king has arrived. The deliverance has begun. And someday it will be complete and their word will be fulfilled. Have you come here to torture us before the time and punish us before the appointed time? I thought we still had time left. And here you are. The future had arrived in Christ. The day had begun. And when Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate was saying, you know, I can have authority to put you to death. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place. Where is it from? The future. The future. The day has two phases. And in between that day, we can say, yes, there is a day coming, but it's already here. The day has arrived. The great and dreadful day of the Lord. Why is it dreadful? Why is it bad news? For some, because they will not submit themselves to the King, their Creator, who is the Son of Righteousness. He only when he can restore their relationships. He can restore families. He can restore the brokenness that is in people's hearts. The prophecy said, this day these things are fulfilled. The anointing of the Lord is upon me to do this. Or it's badness. For us, if we have come to Christ, then both of these phases are great. The first coming we celebrate, and we're going to be ecstatic at the second coming. But for the ones who reject his first coming, reject his offer of God's healing word, then it's bad news. It's bad news. Have you come to Jesus for healing? You know, Christians many times bring their souls to be cleansed from sin, but there's so much more that God wants to touch in your life and heal. He wants to bring complete deliverance from every bad habit, of everything in your life. This is the whole calling of the Christian church to holiness. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, oh come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Emmanuel, God with us, to deliver us. Yes, we're still in the process of deliverance. This is deliverance season. And guess what? Advent covers all of the Christian year then. The whole story is Advent since Jesus came. And that day is not complete until he comes again. Jesus is coming again. A time of glory and rejoicing for us, or a time of bad news if we have rejected him. Father God, thank you for this word about the day that is coming. Lord, it's a sobering word, and it ends the whole Old Testament on a sobering note. And then you give 400 years of silence. Because, Lord, you like to pause before you have to say something important. And when Jesus came, and John the Baptist announced him, that was the most important event in history. The day had arrived. The day of the Lord is here. Lord, I just pray for ourselves, that we will give ourselves, everyone in this church building right now, will give themselves to the deliverance that is available in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray, and we pray and pray for our loved ones and those that we know that do not yet have Jesus reigning in their hearts. Lord, that they will not see the second coming as bad news, that they also will come to Christ
and see the second coming as goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.